Hello.
Hello. No, you need to sing your song.
No, you don't sing it, you just hello.
Welcome to the party.
With Ryan
I'm Bethany.
I went high pitch for you.
Thanks,
I
James.
thought.
Did you want people to think that it was me singing?
Yeah.
We are back with episode 8.
I'm pretty sure it's episode 9,
No, it's
but
definitely.
we're gonna go with episode 8.
Definitely number 8. You just want it to
Okay.
be closer to when you do your thing,
Because
right?
that'll be the best episode we ever do. Our viewership will soar. For our listenership.
I think it gives people something to look forward to. We are back in Northern Ireland this time, in a little place called Newry.
Newry.
Newry?
Where's Oldry?
I don't know.
Stop with that joke.
So it's like southern Northern Ireland for those.
Southern Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, when I stabbed the pin in it and you went, you got Northern Ireland? I went, no, it's obviously the south of Ireland. And then you went, no, Ryan. There's Ireland, and the only part of our map that's highlighted is Northern Ireland.
Yeah. So we've got a bit of a different one this time.
Do we?
Yes, because I think I have two very good stories,
Right.
but it's just two.
Oh my God, Beth, really?
I'm sorry. I know that's like 3 is like the devil number, so it should be technically good. Yeah, because it's the opposite of the Holy Trinity, God, rhyme. Oh. I mean, I've watched a horror film where they explain devil logic to you.
No, you didn't prepare me, so I haven't done any Ryan reviews.
Oh well.
Derp. Which is obviously the best thing
Derp.
about this
It's
show.
really not.
Ryan reviews!
So we've got two stories that are based in southern Northern Ireland.
In southern Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
New,
Then
where is
near
it? Newby?
New is it Newry?
Newry. Okay.
Then near Newry, these places. As per, it's quite difficult to find ghost stories for a specific town, especially, and I found this, if there's a ghost tour in that area, it's like as if they've like removed all of the information about ghosts online so that you have to go to this ghost tour.
We are going to have to start going on a lot of ghost tours.
Oh, that'd be
Okay.
interesting,
That would be
wouldn't it?
quite
That'd
cool.
be cool.
You'd be useless,
I'd
I'm
be scared.
guessing.
Should we just jump right into our very first story?
Yes.
You might have to close your eyes. It might help if you're like visioning.
You sure you're not going to hit me or something when I'm not
No.
looking?
No, I'm not gonna hit you.
Oh, I can't do it. I'm just going to look away, okay?
Okay, he was. I was not even gonna hit you, but
I'm
now that
under
you've put that
light.
thought into my mind, I kind of want to.
Exactly.
Story number one.
I'm visualizing story number one.
Green Lady of Armagh. Oh, sorry, the story's called The Green Lady of Armagh. The one thing that is certain in all of it is that anyone of a certain age will remember hearing the tale and knowing full well when it was time to get home before dark, or the Green Lady'll get you. 21-year-old Belina Pryor, daughter of the late military commander of Armagh, was charged with the murder of 4-year-old Anne Slavin from Callan Street in 1888. According to court records, the young Miss Pryor had been accused of willfully drowning the infant in a kitchen boiler without any motive being apparent. Her defence argued that the child had lost her balance on a tin can next to the boiler and that Pryor had lost her presence of mind at not being able to save the child's life and falsely accused herself of murder. Adele Pryor, Belina's older sister, stated that her sister and the child had only been alone for 15 minutes when Belina appeared, white as a ghost and soaking wet, at first saying, "Run down, I did not do it," later changing her claim to, "I've killed the child." Reverend Benjamin Wade, who was employed as a librarian in the area, questioned the accused on the afternoon of the tragedy in the parlour of the house. He told the court that he had asked her, "What is it you've done?" She replied, "I'll give you no answer." He asked her again and she said, "I will not answer a word." He then pressed her, "Now don't you know you've deprived a poor child of its life and what the consequences might be?" Pryor just replied, "Well, I'm sure I will be hanged and I will be glad of it." While being held in prison, she attempted to commit suicide by cutting her own throat and was subsequently moved to a lunatic asylum. The jury found her guilty of the murder, but declared her sane. The legend of the Green Lady, as we began, has been widely retold. There were tales that Belina's spirit was captured in a green bottle, hence the Green Lady, and she would once again escape if her bottle was broken. There were stories that the bottle was bricked up in the house at Vicar's Hill.
So it's like a genie.
I'm a genie in a bottle. Come set me free.
And so you need three wishes, so she'll kill like three children.
Mm. Three babies. Ew, Ryan, that's so messed up. Why would you think
that? That's what she's...
So she killed a 4-year-old. That's pretty sad. Savage. Like, this apparently, like, this is, like, there's court records, so someone genuinely did kill a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
It's not really supernaturally, apart from the fact that there's, like, her spirit's been caught in a bottle. Thought that because of, like, that area, all of the kids are, like...
Scared of her.
Scared of Green Lady. Oh, you got to get home before the Green Lady will get you.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of relevant. It's, like, that kids... probably telling each other. It's like they're boogeyman in Armagh.
In Northern Southern Ireland.
Northern Northern Ireland.
Sorry.
So yeah, that one was a bit of a creepy one. And it's the fact that she, like, fully admitted to it.
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? It's because she's either, like, batshit crazy and she's killed this child and then admitted it.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe she didn't do the killing because she was like, oh, it wasn't me. And then she later blamed herself for not being able to save the child, so that's why she said it was her fault, and people took that as, oh, she's done it, or she probably was just batshit crazy, and they thought, right, we're going to lock her up. But yeah, she probably did do it, to be fair.
What do you think? Do you reckon that she killed the kid or not?
Yeah, I think so. I think come on, you're looking after a kid for all of 15 minutes on your own, and it dies.
One of the arguments was that she lost her balance on a tin can. What?
Why was the kid balancing on a tin can?
Or is it like she was walking? I don't have a clue.
It sounds like something she would have been doing for a TikTok video.
Well, we have to watch out when we're doing our TikTok videos.
Balancing on any tin cans.
Oh, there's not much really to say about this one. It's kind of more like true crime than horror. But I think it's quite interesting that the kids are all scared of her.
It was a good story.
Good story.
GG.
This next story is quite long, so
okay.
This one is like, maybe you want to like get a cup of tea and settle in. I think this one's quite like, ooh, right?
Right, okay.
You ready?
Could you imagine writing a review where it goes, I really thought this story was like, ooh.
I'd be an excellent reviewer, what are you on about? Close your eyes.
Well, I can't read from here anyway.
Wait, you can. Lord Tyrone and Lady Beresford were orphans of Ireland. Building a strong friendship, the two remained inseparable for a long time. Their carer went to great lengths to ensure they eradicated all original beliefs and followed a religious path of deism. As friends, they had found an unbreakable pact to try and seek the truth of religion and afterlife, agreeing that the first to become deceased would return to earth and divulge the true religion. The path the other one should follow to seek redemption and pass into the afterlife. Now married, Lady Beresford and her husband had returned from a visit to Lord Tyrone, and the demeanour of Lady Beresford seemed to have taken a change. Coming down to breakfast one morning, she was deathly pale, quiet, and timid. Wound around her wrist was a black cloth. Protective of the meaning behind this black cloth, she snapped at her husband and asked him not to question it any more. Moving the focus of her pale complexion and the black tie, she inquired if the post had arrived. This only made her husband grow more and more concerned. Lady Beresford announced to her husband that she was waiting to hear some news, news to confirm, not to inform. Lord Tyrone is to have died at 4 o'clock on Tuesday. Expectantly, Lady Beresford, a messenger came through with an envelope with a black seal, which stated that Lord Tyrone had in fact passed on that very day, at that very hour. Confirmation of her knowing of Lord Tyrone's death led her to become assured of another fact. I am without a doubt with a child of a son. Lady Beresford was no medium. She wasn't all-knowing in any way. She had in fact heard this news from Lord Tyrone himself. One night, awoken from her sleep, she found Lord Tyrone at her bedside. Startled, she exclaimed, "For heaven's sakes, Lord Tyrone, by what means and for what purpose did you come here at this time?" He replied to her, "Have you forgotten our promise? I died last Tuesday night, and I'm permitted by the Supreme Being to appear to you to assure you that the revealed religion is true and the only one by which you can be saved. I am further permitted to inform you that you are now with a child of a son, who is decreed shall marry my daughter. Not many years after his birth, Sir Martin will die, and you will marry again, and to a man whose ill treatment you will be rendered miserable. You will bring 2 daughters and afterwards a son, of whom you will die, in childbed." Obviously the news shocked Lady Beresford, whom was having a happy life with her husband. She inquired if she could change her fate, to which Lord Tyrone said she was free to do. Starting to doubt her ears and her eyes, she wanted some proof for the morning that she was in fact visited from beyond the grave, and to confirm all of which he said. "Will the news of my death not be sufficient to convince you?" asked Lord Tyrone. Alas, it was not. Lady Beresford asked for a physical sign to confirm the next morning. So Lord Tyrone took the crimson curtains of the bed and ripped them on a large iron hook. This again wasn't enough for Lady Beresford. He then took her pocketbook and wrote inside of it, knowing that she knows and would be able to identify his handwriting. Once again, this was not enough. Lord Tyrone expressed, "I must not touch you, I would injure you irreparably. It is not for spirits to touch mortal flesh." In which Lady Beresford replied, "I don't regard a slight blemish," holding out her arm for Lord Tyrone to clamp her wrist with his cold spirit hand. Her arm bore a mark from every nerve end being singed by the cold touch of Lord Tyrone. The next morning, Lady Beresford awoke alone in bed. She was astonished to see the torn curtain and headed to fetch a broom to take the curtains down. She then locked her pocketbook in the bureau and took a small piece of black ribbon to tie around her wrist. She then ascended downstairs to join her husband for breakfast and tell him of Lord Tyrone's passing, just as she did before.
Creepy. That is weird, isn't it?
Yeah, but he never actually told her what was the true religion.
Yeah, it was.
Which one
that she was already following. The one that the carer, the person that took them
Deism.
In. Deism, which I googled, and it's basically just believing in the fact that there is like some sort of powerful being who created everything.
Or?
No, it's basically like believing in God.
Any type of God.
I don't know.
It doesn't specify which one.
No.
That's really vague.
Could be anyone.
That's really vague. That's like the laziest religion ever. Well, how do you praise
your God?
Well,
it would explain every religion. So it's kind of like all-inclusive, isn't it? An all-inclusive religion.
No, it was a cool story, though. I thought,
Was it?
I don't know why she didn't believe him. He just rocked up at her bedside.
Well, I think she thought she was dreaming at first.
Mm. Do you reckon it ever had a thing? Like, best friends from childhood.
They always say that, like, a straight man and straight woman can't be friends because it always ends up in something.
And, like, when she's, like, lying in bed and he just rocks up at her bedside in, like, the middle of the night and she's like, "For what reason are you here?"
True.
And he's like, "I'm dead." Oh. Are we sure?
Touch me and I'll find out. Touch me. She was very demanding, wasn't she? The ripped curtain's not enough. The writing in me little pocketbook in your specific handwriting, also not enough. So grab my arm, please.
Maybe if she made all this up, maybe she just want to add a little bit of weight to her story. So, you know, when she's explaining to her husband the next day, like, "Look, I'm not batshit crazy. He ripped the curtain, then he drew in this book, and then he touched me." And then the husband's like, "I knew there was something going on."
Yeah,
you cheating bitch.
It's alright anyway, it's because he's going to die and then she's going to marry someone else.
True.
And then she's going to be really miserable and then die giving birth.
Why would he tell her all that?
Pretty crappy.
And then
life.
She's like, "Can I change it?" "Yeah." "Okay. That means then I have, like, 1,000 different possibilities." He's not going to sit there and explain every single outcome, is he?
Well, no. Well, he's probably, like, that was what path she would have been on if he never stopped her.
It sounds like it goes really downhill, doesn't it? So, her husband, who she's happily married with, dies. She remarries to someone she doesn't particularly like, mistreats her, and then she gives birth to that guy's children and dies during childbirth. That sounds, like, miserable.
Yeah, that's pretty shady life,
though. Yeah. So basically, when her first husband died, I don't think she'll be able to stop that, unfortunately. Not remarry.
Yeah, basically.
No kids, no death.
Would you not be like, "Oh, I wonder what those..." Because she could have had 3 more kids. Now she's just going to have 1.
Yeah.
She's going to have 1 son, and she's not going to have any more.
Yeah, but if she has any more, she'll die during their childbirth.
I suppose. So there's a bit of a paranormal aspect with Lord Tyrone visiting her when he's dead. I thought it was quite a good film. It was like a film story. It was like cyclical because you think, "Oh, I wonder why she's got this cloth tied around her wrist." Because I remember when I was reading it, I was like, "Why she got cloth tied around her wrist?"
It's like those films that start at the end and then explain how they got to the end.
Another horror cliche.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing. When you were in, like, GCSE literature, did you not get told that was, like, a sick thing to do? Once I found out what foreshadowing was, every one of my stories foreshadowed. I thought it was like when you learn what a simile was and you just, like, use all the time.
Like a virgin.
not much of a podcast, this one. Our podcasts keep on getting, like, shorter and shorter.
Also getting more and more listens. So maybe there's something to do with it being shorter.
People don't want to listen to us drone on for ages. But I'm just going to take the time to tell everyone you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok now as well. At the Paranormal Tea.
We're trying, bless.
We're going to start doing some little stuff. Little stuff. We've got our TikTok videos, which everyone finds hilarious, by the way. Loads of people have seen them. We've got like 15 likes on one of them, I swear.
I just want to clarify on the second TikTok video. The reason why they're saying to go away is because I'm meant to be in the background. Because when I looked at it on my phone, I couldn't see me. It's just you dancing, then kicking the door behind you and going, go away, go away. I was like, no, guys, I'm there. I'm there. I promise, I'm there.
You can check out our TikToks, and also we're going to be doing on our Facebook rather than doing a movie review podcast, which was just dull.
Yeah, no, nobody really wanted to listen to us talk about films that they're never going to watch.
No, we just thought that we would do like a quick little review, like rating. It's more of a rating than a review, isn't it?
Yeah,
we'll horror films.
Yeah, and you know, would we recommend that sort of stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of recommendations, by God, the Leprechaun series. It's amazing.
I'm still going on about that.
So good.
I think you should just write a little post on our Facebook just bigging up the Leprechaun.
Just bigging up the Leprechaun.
I'm
going to tell Warren Davis.
No. So, yeah, we're going to be posting those on our Facebook, so you can go and check them out. And I think Ryan's going to be doing most of them, which is good because Ryan's actually contributing now.
I contribute just by being here, mate.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm the star power behind this
Okay. I hope you've enjoyed our quick little podcast.
Sober daytime edition.
Yeah. And when in Darlington next, for episode 9, so it's the last episode that I will be producing before Ryan does a takeover of the podcast.
It's a one-episode takeover. This isn't something you can get used to. I mean, unless it's really good.
Can you not do it, like, every, like, 10?
We could alternate. No, we could alternate. Like, I do one, you do one.
I don't know about that, mate.
Why not? I do one, you do one?
We'll see. We'll see how good it is.
It'll be sick.
Okay, if you say so. I mean, you've already been getting help from other people getting the stories for you.
Someone's already sent a story, and I'm like, whoa.
Okay, well, thank you for listening. This has been The Paranormal Tea.
With Ryan. And Bethany.